But on those rare days when there's no commitment for which you're accountable, you get this one glorious chance to use the function built into our clocks by someone who must have known what most mornings are really like. You get to hit the snooze button. Then you can roll over and drift back into unconsciousness, capturing those Z's you missed all week. Bank them up for the sleep deprivation you know is going to come. Listen through your semi-consciousness to someone else doing some clattering down in the kitchen. Savor the aroma of the fresh brewed coffee you'll get to later. That's what I'm talking about. So here was someone, let's call her Amy, a mother who was one of the most active people I know, vital in several leadership roles in her church, responsible in every way. But this one Sunday, she just didn't feel like getting up to go to church. It was going to be her time. Let her husband get the kid ready. He was competent too, mostly. He could take him to church. Then she could get up when she wanted, stay in her robe while sipping her coffee and spending some quality time with the newspaper, listen to the birds singing, and feel the warm sun out on the patio. Just this once. I know it's a hot day in July, and a lot of your friends are probably on vacation. Maybe some of the kids are away at camp. So for this one Sunday, maybe you can just forget about church and sleep in. Yet, you're here. Which says something. At least it suggests to me that I'm probably preaching to the choir. But then again, even the choir needs a sermon now and then. Yet, isn't there ever a time when you like to just hit the snooze button and roll over and not have to be here at 10 o'clock, such an early hour on a Sunday? There's a story about a woman who went into the bedroom to get her husband out, get him up for church, and she said, "Get up! It's time to get ready." The groggy voice muffled through the pillow replied, "I don't want to go. The sermon's boring and nobody there likes me. Give me two reasons I have to go." So she snapped back, "Well, the first reason is you're 45 years old and need to act like an adult. And the second reason is you're the pastor." Maybe everybody has a day they just like to sleep in. Of course, the church is no longer the center of a town's social activities. It's no longer the place you have to go to make the connections you need for business or society. Attendance in the United Methodist churches nationwide enjoyed a little growth in the 1990s, then has been declining every year since 2002. In fact, between 2000 and 2008, attendance declined more than 10%. Unless you think this is something that has to do with the style of the Methodist Church, our type of worship, theology, or doctrine, it's something that's been happening across the landscape of American churches. Lovett Weems, a United Methodist professor of church leadership, suggests that it's due to the fact that people just aren't as interested in organized religion these days. The large masses of church faithful tend to be older and are becoming less mobile. Sound familiar? Fact is, the idea of not hitting the snooze alarm is becoming less and less attractive. In a day when it's popular to say, "I'm spiritual, but not religious," a lot of people believe in Jesus, pray, and feel close to God, and do nice things, but they're just not excited about sitting through a worship service or getting mixed up in church politics. In doing my research, I read about a conference for pastors and members of churches that are in partnership with the United Methodist Churches in Lithuania, in which leaders talked about religious trends in the Baltics over the past century. They said that the Methodists essentially closed their doors when the Nazis came. Then they stayed closed when the Soviet occupation prohibited congregations from worshiping at all. It was during those days that every day a woman walked by an old Methodist church. It was a building in Vilnius, and she placed her hand on the stone and prayed. She prayed for the day when the church would again be open. So one day after the Soviet era ended and religious freedom returned, a leader from the Board of Global Ministries appeared to restart the ministry that had for so long been absent. The woman met him, and the first words out of her mouth were, "What took you so long?" The 1990s was a decade of excitement when the Methodist Church grew rapidly. People were hungry for the gospel. Their new freedom to meet was met with a lot of enthusiasm. But things have changed since then. They've gotten used to the church being there. And now people have found other things to do and other interests that have captured their attention. Now the work of the church is a lot harder. There, it's a lot like it is here. People won't come to church just because it's the thing to do. People want to know what's so important about gathering together. Why can't you be just as vital a Christian, just as faithful a follower of Jesus, if you stay away as if you come to church? Well, you're here on a hot and humid Sunday in July, but maybe it would be important to think about why you come and what you'd say to those who don't. Actually, this isn't a new issue at all. It was something Christians had to deal with back in the days of the early church, when there were still grandparents who knew the disciples firsthand. Even then, the writer of Hebrews said the people were inattentive, neglectful, and drifting. So, as Jackie read in Hebrews, the writer says why to stay connected. Reasons so important that you can tell that they write them for not only for themselves, but for everyone else to truly understand. Because of Jesus, whose sacrifice gave us boldness to enter the sanctuary of an awesome God, let us hold fast to hope, and let's bug each other to grow and love, to excel in doing things, and let's keep meeting together, because together is where we belong. I'm paraphrasing a little there. Approach God, hold fast, help each other out, together. This is what it means to belong to God in a new society God has fashioned. Let go of this new matrix of relationships that Jesus has called together, and you don't really have everything that God has in mind. God wants you redeemed. God wants you. And God also wants you together. You need all these parts. Snooze alarms are understandable and at times very useful. But over the course of time, we really need to get up and get going. What if church wasn't just something to endure? What if church was more than an institution or a building or a meeting that you had to attend to? What if church is a verb? People busy living out being the people of God, exploring and learning things that make a difference, bringing sides together, and new opportunities to change the world. What if church were a dynamic web of relationships that got you to grow and know you were loved by God more than anything else? What if church got you to do life a little bit better than you would if you were left to do it on your own? You remember that Amy I was talking about earlier? Well, she rolled over and hit the snooze button. Then she listened to the clamoring down in the kitchen. She couldn't stay in bed. She dragged herself up, and without really committing herself to a change of mind, she just started doing the things she would do if it were any other Sunday, one thing at a time. It wasn't a change of heart. Her heart was still in bed, drifting. Even when she got all the way to church, more habit than conscious choice. She got out of the car and went in and saw the regular people in their regular places. Most of them were talking to the same people they usually talk to. Nothing new, nothing different. She could have put it off for another week. When they were walking into the sanctuary, she went by a friend and just touched his arm almost without thinking. She gave him her usual greeting. "Hi, it's good to see you." Then she went to her usual seat, worshipped in her usual way. But what she didn't know was it was not a usual day for that person. He had come to church hurting, really hurting. He was there looking for something, though I don't know if he knew what it was he would find. It was just something, and he really needed it. He was still troubled when Amy came by in her usual way, and she said, "Hi, it's good to see you." It was good. And there was something about that simple touch that she had never given a thought. However it happened, something took place in that simple touch. Suddenly he was not alone. He was known. He was cared for. And the caring was a touch from God, and it got to his hurt. It really made a difference. And she thought it wouldn't make any difference if she were there or not. Oh, how wrong she was. When we renew our membership vows, we say, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our presence. In the end, it really does make a difference. At the end of the day, it's more than just about you or me. It's gathering together to share the Lord's blessings with one another. So tell everyone you know, on any given Sunday, if you snooze, then we all just might lose.